Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 is where we're going to begin this morning. We're going to flow into chapter 11 this morning, the first six verses. But I want to begin by just reading this passage, beginning in chapter 10, verse 36. And if you've been with us through this series that we're doing on Sunday mornings, you know that chapter 10, verse 36 is sort of the verse that the whole series is founded upon. Because here's what that verse says. For you need endurance in order to do God's will and so receive what is promised. For just a little longer, and he who is coming will arrive and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I take no pleasure in him. But we are not among those who shrink back and thus perish, but are among those who have faith and preserve their souls. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, being convinced of what we do not see. For by it the people of old received God's commendation. By faith we understand that the worlds were set in order at God's command, so that the visible has its origin in the invisible. By faith Abel offered God a greater sacrifice than Cain, and through his faith he was commended as righteous, because God commended him for his offerings. And through his faith he still speaks, though he is dead. By faith Enoch, when he was taken up so that he did not see death, and he was not to be found, because God took him up. For before his removal he had been commended as having pleased God. Now without faith it is impossible to please him, for the one who approaches God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Amen. Throughout our series through the book of Hebrews, we've looked at endurance one way. Today we're going to look at it a little bit differently. Up to this point, we have seen, like it says in verse 36 of chapter 10, that we need endurance. And we can receive that endurance, that supernatural staying power, that supernatural stick-to-itiveness to be able to be steadfast and constant in all of life's trials and obstacles and opposition and, you know, everything that we face, the struggles of life. We can endure when we receive God's supernatural staying power. And again, we need that in order to do his will and receive what is promised. But today, the author changes a little bit. He doesn't want us to see endurance from that perspective. He wants us to see now that if we will respond to God in faith, if we will live by faith, that actually connects us with everything that will endure. And the author wants to remind his readers as well as us that when we live by faith, everything that we do, everything that we're connected with, everything that we touch is not just about living for this life, it's about something that will make a difference throughout eternity. And he wants to motivate us then and inspire us to a life of faith. So I want us to see this passage in three different ways. I want to first begin by reminding us and talking to us about the essence of faith. The essence of faith. How can we simply define this word that we use all the time? I see faith as confidence in God. It is the conviction that what God has said is true and what God has promised he will do. Amen. It is simply taking God at his word and then following it, obeying it, pursuing it, using his word as the very foundation and rock of our life. So look with me at chapter 11, verse 1 again for a moment. That's why the author says, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Being confident of what we hope for. Why? How can I be sure in a world that is so unstable and unsettled? I can be sure and confident and living in hope because my hope, my surety, my stability, my confidence isn't in anything of this world. It is in the character of God and it is in His Word. It's settled. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." So when we put our faith in the word of God, there are certain things that we can even go through this very unstable, unsettled world, and we can be sure and confident of, you see. That's the essence of faith. That's why the Bible calls us to live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. And listen, that doesn't just mean our heart's beating and we're breathing. The word lives means we will truly experience the highest quality of life we possibly could on this side of heaven. It is living that abundant life that only comes by faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Are we trusting in the Word of God? That's why in verse 6 of chapter 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We understand that if we define faith the way we have. Because in our relationships with each other as human beings, if you were telling your family members or your friends something that you knew was real, you knew it was true, and they did not believe you, that would cause some frustration in you. In fact, you may even, as a mere mortal human being, be insulted. Why aren't they believing me? Why aren't they trusting me? This is true. This is real. Even we are that way with one another. And let's face it, as human beings, we're not always truthful. We're not always, you know, living in reality. But God has always been truthful. As we've learned in the book of Hebrews, God can't lie. Everything God has said is trustworthy, reliable, and dependable. And God has never led any human being astray in what He said. So you can understand why there's no way we can please God and walk with Him and have any type of relationship with Him if we don't believe Him and trust Him. Trust is the basis and foundation of every relationship. If you have relationships in your life, that you are close to someone, that you are safe, you feel safe with someone, it's because you two trust each other. There's a mutual trust there, you see. You know you can trust that person, and they know that they can trust you. Well, the same thing is true with our relationship with God. No wonder the Bible says then, without faith it's impossible to please God, because there's no way that we can have any kind of close, intimate relationship with God if I don't believe what He said and I don't trust what He said. And I don't think He's going to fulfill His promises. So this is why I wanted to start out with the essence of faith. Are we right now in our lives confident in our God? Are we living with the strong conviction that what God has said is true? And what He has promised, He will do. That's faith. That's faith. But faith must be exercised, if you will, in order to benefit us and profit us in any way. You see, it's not just intellectual assent to certain facts that we might say, oh, I believe that. Like, I believe in a higher power. I believe in God. Okay, the Bible says the demons believe that. See, that's why there's a difference between belief and faith. Demons believe in God, but they don't follow Him and obey Him by faith. They don't want a relationship with Him. They don't trust what He has said. So that's why there's no relationship there between the demonic world and their creator. God says, I not only need you to believe by intellectually saying, yeah, I affirm that. It's by literally placing your life and following what he said and trusting what he said enough to obey what he says. In fact, let me use the Resurrection Sunday scenario as an example of this before I share some thoughts from this passage. Think of how the disciples of Jesus would have spared themselves fear, anxiety, worry, discouragement, and depression if they would have simply trusted what Jesus had told them. He had told them over and over and over again in the Gospels, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise from the dead. He told them that. And yet they did not take him at his word. So when they see him dying on the cross and being buried, it's like, we're done. It's hopeless. No. If you would have truly taken Jesus at his word, you all would have been crammed around that tomb just waiting for him to resurrect. And I think of ourselves, how much fear, worry, anxiety, discouragement, depression, and on we go, do we cause ourselves simply because we're not taking God at his word and trusting him. That's why Jesus said, why are you worried about your life? Don't you know your heavenly Father loves you more than he loves that bird? And he knows when that bird hits the ground out there off the tree. He loves you. He'll care for you. Trust him. Taking God at his word. So look at the exercise of faith here, beginning in chapter 11. First of all, again, back to verse 1. If we exercise faith, then we're going to live a life of confidence, of surety, and of hope in a hopeless world. That's the first. Then verse 3. By exercising faith, we will look around and see creation as evidence of a creator, unseen and yet undeniable. We understand by faith the worlds were set in order by God's command. Listen, no human being was there when the world started. So I've either got to take God's word for how it started, Genesis 1, God spoke this world into existence out of nothing by the power of his word. Or I believe what scientists and other people say about how the world came into being. Either way, I got to trust somebody. I choose to trust God. I choose to trust how God said it came about. That's faith, trusting in God's word and what God said about creation. Then look at verse 4. The exercise of faith not only gives me surety and confidence and hope and allows me to see a creator through creation, it also shapes my worship. That's what he's talking about in verse 4 when he talks about Cain and Abel. He says, Abel's sacrifice and offering was acceptable to God, but Cain's wasn't. Why? Well, Abel believed what God told him. See, way back even then, God told Adam and Eve and their children, this is how you are to worship me. When you come before me to worship me, this is how you are to do it. God didn't just leave them to figure out how they were to worship him. He revealed to them how they were to worship him. And all they had to do was follow his word. Abel did that. Abel's worship was God-centered. Cain's worship was self-centered. It was man-centered. It was an expression of Cain's self-sufficiency, where Abel's offering was God-centered. Sufficiency, because Abel brought a sacrifice that was, in a sense, a substitute. He brought a blood offering. He brought an animal that showed that man, in order to have a relationship, needs to understand that there needs to be a substitute. The whole Old Testament sacrificial system of all those animals being sacrificed was pointing to the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we've been talking about throughout the study of Hebrews. It is a reminder to all of us that when Jesus went to the cross, he went in our place. He went as our substitute. He took our punishment and the wrath of God upon himself so that we never would have to. And God instilled that understanding to people all the way back at the beginning of time in the book of Genesis. When you come to me, you must bring an offering that is a blood offering, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. In the blood is the life, and I need you to follow me by doing that. Abel did that. Cain didn't. Cain brought whatever he wanted to and said, this should be acceptable to you. God said, no. You see, faith shapes our worship. Faith fuels our worship. Faith inspires our worship. Faith enables us to want to come to God as he wants to be worshiped. Jesus said, the Father is still looking for people to worship him, those who want to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so, faith, the exercise of it, goes a long way to enhance, energize, and shape the worship of our God. Then verse 5, talks about Enoch. And it doesn't really say it here in verse 5, although it mentions Enoch, but it's a reminder of back in Genesis chapter 5, who was Enoch? He was this man who walked with God. In fact, in that very short passage, it talks about Enoch back in Genesis 5. It says two times in chapter 5, verse 22, and chapter 5, verse 24 of Genesis, Enoch walked with God. In fact, in verse 22, it says he walked with God for 300 years. How can some human being walk with God? Because to walk with God or to walk with anybody implies that we've got to be in alignment with each other. We've got to be in agreement with each other. In fact, the prophet Amos says that in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You're not going to walk with somebody and be in agreement with them down the same road unless you both agree this is the road we need to walk on. And so Enoch is this great example of someone who not only walked with God, but walked with God for an extended period of time till finally they became so close, God said, I'm just going to rapture you out of here. In fact, people that say, oh, I don't believe in that rapture thing. Well, there's two guys in the Old Testament that literally were raptured and snatched away without death, Enoch and Elijah. God, again, was showing, I can do this anytime I want to. But he walked with God by faith. You see, because he trusted what God said, therefore he followed what God said and he obeyed with what God said. Now listen, God gives us a choice. God says, this is the road, Jeff, I want you to walk down, but if you want to go your own way, you can go. I'm not going to abandon you or forsake you, but I'm just going to stay here because I'm not joining you on that road, because that road only leads to a lack of fulfillment and satisfaction in your life. But if you get to the point like the prodigal son did, where you realize I made a big mistake, let's come back and let's start over again and go down the same road. Because God wants us to walk the road that he has for us, not the one that we choose for ourselves or others choose for ourselves. But he does leave that choice up to us. So that makes the example of Enoch so remarkable in that he walked with God for 300 straight years. How did he do it? By faith. He simply took God at his word and kept walking with God. So these are all examples of the exercise of faith. But I want to really talk to us today about the effect of our faith. The effect of our faith, because that's where we are reminded of the fact that when we live by faith, we are connected with the eternal God and eternal things. Go back with me to the very last verse of chapter 10. The author says, hey, I believe in you guys. I'm confident in you. You're not going to shrink back. You're not going to retreat. You're not going to go back to the old ways and perish and miss out and lose out on what's truly worthwhile and of value. You're going to hang in there. You're going to endure, and you're going to keep exercising your faith to the preservation of your soul. The word preserve there is key. It means that which remains and endures, that which lasts. That's how you and I can live a life even here on earth and be part of things that will last forever. Think about that. That's incredible that God gives us the privilege and the opportunity to live our lives on earth and still lay up treasure in heaven and invest in eternal things and be able to reach out and even touch eternal things and have our life on earth matter not just for now, but forever. Amen. Look at these words that are repeated throughout chapter 11, the first six verses. Beginning in verse 2, the word commendation. By it, the people of old received God's commendation. It means validation or vindication. Notice how often this concept is used. In verse 4, you see this word repeated twice. Abel was commended as righteous, and God commended him for his offerings. Then down in verse 5, Enoch was commended as having pleased God. And then finally at the end of verse 6, the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Same concept. Just like we sung about this morning in our time of worship, God is good and gracious. He honors our faith. In fact, the Bible teaches God never fails to honor our faith. And not just for the short term, for the long term. This chapter in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, some people have called it God's Hall of Fame of Faith or his honor roll. Think about what this chapter represents. God is calling out people by name who live by faith, and he is honoring them thousands of years after they existed. We hear about the faith of Enoch and Abel and Noah and Moses and Abraham, and on we could go. God literally is saying, you will be honored forever for your faith. You know, we're not going to take time this morning, but at the end of this chapter, God reminds us, I'm still adding to the honor roll of my faith. Now, he's not adding to his word, but he is adding to the honor roll of those who live by faith so that all of us have the opportunity to hear one day from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well done, good and faithful servant. And we will be honored for all time for the faith that we place into God and into the things that we do for God while we're here. That's why I want to direct your attention now to the end of verse 4. I use this verse a lot. In fact, almost every memorial service I do, and I did two yesterday, I use this phrase because it's a good reminder. It says, Abel, through his faith, he still speaks though he is dead. Think about that. Abel is sending a loud and clear message to everyone still thousands of years after he's dead. You want to talk about a legacy. But that's a reminder to us. That's the effect of faith. That's what faith can do. That you and I can live in such a way by faith in God that God can use our life, our testimony, our witness for years and years and years to come. Because the world is passing away. And if we live for this world, the material, the physical, the temporal world, it's passing away. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. The world's passing away. So you think about all those human beings that just live for the here and now. As the writer of Ecclesiastes says, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You know, there's nothing more. Let's just do whatever we want to do, live however we want to live, and be done with it. That's fine. God gives them that choice. But once they're dead, they have nothing to show for it. There's nothing about the way they live their life that is connected with the eternal that will remain and abide. But I want to encourage us today. I want to inspire us today. I want to motivate us today on this Easter Sunday 2026 that it can be different with us. that just like those that are contained in Hebrews chapter 11, when we live by faith, it's something that will last forever and ever. And after you and I are gone, our life can still be speaking. Let me ask you. We've already been reminded in the book of Hebrews, it's appointed unto once for humans to die, and after this, God's judgment or evaluation. So none of us are going to escape death unless we are in that generation of the rapture. How will you be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? What kind of legacy are you leaving? If you were to die this coming week and we were to do your memorial service, what would people say about you? What would you be known for? What are you saying with your life? You see. And the author of Hebrews is saying to his readers long ago and to us, don't just live for the short term and the here and now. Live by faith. Trust in the word of your God and connect yourself with things that will last forever. Because every one of us, we have those opportunities every day and every week that we live to make a difference in this world for God. And to do what we do for the glory of God and the honor of God. And to prioritize our life with the priorities of God. And to say, God, I'm going to trust you. It's not about what I can grab in this fleeting world and in this fleeting life. It's about how I can connect to eternal things. And invest in eternal things, and even make a difference in other people's lives for all of eternity. That's why Moses said, God, help us to consider our own mortality that we might live wisely, that we might live for what matters most. It's going to last, it's going to endure, it's going to abide. And the author is saying, it's only by faith that our life is connected to the eternal. That's the only way that we can be in touch with eternal things is by faith. And Paul says in the book of Romans, whatever's not of faith is sin. It misses the mark because we're not trusting in God in that moment or in that situation. We're trusting in ourselves or in something or someone else. So may all of us today not only want to receive God's supernatural staying power in order to do his will and receive all that he has promised to us, but may we also realize today in this particular passage that when we approach God in faith and we live by faith and we trust in the Lord with all our heart and we do not lean on our own understanding, that when we live that way, we're living for eternal things. We're going to live for things that 100,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, 1,000,000,000 years from now, because forever is a long time. It never ends. Those will be the things that matter because they've been done in, by, and through our faith in God. What an amazing God. And in just a few minutes, we're going to end our service today by singing about God is able. And I want you to think as we sing that song about these two aspects of God being able. First of all, he is able to fulfill his word. He is able to be trusted. He is able to literally bring about everything that he said that he would bring about. He's able to do that. He's also able to enable us to live by faith. You see, the Bible teaches that faith is literally a gift from God, a gift that we can receive. And so today, God can literally birth faith inside your heart. And you can begin to trust God and believe in him by receiving that gift of faith that he wants to give to you. But maybe you've already received that gift of faith and you're living by faith, but you need your faith strengthened. You need your faith stabilized even more. You're like the person in the Bible that says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, God can do that too. He is able to strengthen our faith. So whatever place you and I are in today, may all of us be in a position where we want to please the Lord. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. May we all come to God today and believe, God, you are able. You're able. And so I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you in this season of my life, in this situation, in my moment. I'm going to simply rest in your word. I'm going to ask Nicole and the worship team to come now. And as they come, I'm going to ask you, would you stand with me and join me in prayer? Father, I pray today, Lord, that every one of us may be encouraged, inspired, and motivated, God, to live by faith, to simply take you at your word, to live with that strong conviction that what you say is true and what you have promised you will do. And God, I pray that we won't just believe it, but that we will exercise our faith and live in obedience and trust and rest in your word. And I pray, God, that we will understand today as well that when we live by faith, we literally can reach in and reach out into eternity and realize that what we are living for will be honored by you and rewarded by you, God, throughout eternity. God, may we live for what matters most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.